Luke 3, verse 4. This is talking, what? Luke 3 to verse 4, we're talking about John the Baptist's mission. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." We spent a whole lot of time on this. Let's look at just a couple more verses about prepare. Go to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And again, that word prepare is hetoimazo. It makes ready, make it complete, make it perfect. It was used of the, and we won't go there now because we've looked at it a couple times before, but it was used when Jesus was going to do his last Passover, and he said to the disciples, "Go and find the man that is walking with an ass or a burl, and he has prepared a place." Just as when we do the Passover, it takes a lot of time to prepare. So that place was prepared perfectly for them. And we don't know why. We don't know how the instruction came. Let's go to Hebrews 11.
Something about this that makes it sound like even though his work and everything was finished, there was still a preparation because he went. If he didn't go, he couldn't prepare the place or something. It's as if there was something else.
You mean
heavenly that followed his finished work on the earth?
Yeah, well, that's why he went. The place he prepared was at his ascension. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, which he sat down on the mercy seat. And so that him sitting down was the preparation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just never thought of this. Because when I've always thought it is finished and then that's it. But, yeah, that's it. However, he goes and he sits down with the Father. But he also returned.
No, in the ascension. He prepared. There was a resurrection. Then he walked the earth for 40 days, and then the ascension.
Okay.
At the ascension, he went to prepare, because then he went to sit down. Had he not sat down, and the way he prepared the place was him sitting down and sending the Holy Spirit to do three things: to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Only those three. Of sin, because they believe not on me, not but what you do or don't do. Of righteousness, because he's gone to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of the world has already been judged. So that's the only righteousness, him going to the Father. The only judgment, because the prince of the world was judged. And the only sin, because you believe not on him. Believe here isn't a mental assent. It's a tossing yourself over the cliff, and if he's not there, you die. So that's the preparation. Okay? Hebrews 11.
Yeah. What? Well, hang on just a minute. I turned it off.
I'm doing good, Rick.
This is where it talks about all of these men of faith. It says Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And down in verse 7, by faith Noah, warned of the things not seen, repaired the ark. And Abraham went out, called into a place that he did not know, etc., etc. Through faith Sarah conceived. And then verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them that embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, if you can't confess that you're a stranger and a pilgrim on earth, if it's, Richard really saying it's, we are aliens in a bizarre land, that there is nothing in time and space that has any merit for us, they can, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. For truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And the city that he prepared, which is our place of birth, is the New Jerusalem. So again, this prepared is a biggie. John's preparation was the futility and emptiness of all human effort, the sin of isn't what you do, it's what you, who you are. And his baptism of repentance then was the predicate of everything else. Okay, back to Luke. Still in verse 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The way is hodos. We've talked about that many times. It's either the road, but it also means a course of conduct. And so he has prepared the way, the road, for the Holy One. And the way, he didn't go as the Jews believed. The Holy Spirit doesn't come along and tear down mountains and build up valleys. Those mountains and valleys that are torn down are within your mind. Amen? All right. Have we finally finished verse 4? No. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Path here is a different word. It's tribos. And it means, it's from the word tribo, which means to rub or wear down. And so the word path there is a beaten track. Now he has prepared the way and he's made the path straight by repentance. Everybody understand that? Not by... Straight is euthos, and it means level, true, or right. When we talked about the Jews' tradition, that this was done by the cloud that led Israel in the wilderness. And this is the exact quote. There was a cloud that went before them, 3 days' journey. to take down the hills and raise the valleys. It slew the fiery serpents and all scorpions and found for them a fit place to lodge. Let's go to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Remember, it's right after Ecclesiastes.
No, after
722. Well, I've got the reference from the Hebrew Bible, so we'll have to look at that tomorrow. I didn't. The Hebrew verses are different than the Christian Bible. Different numbering system. So I put the...
Anyway. You did the wrong one.
I have the Hebrew reference. I don't... All right. Verse, chapter... Let's see if we're still in 4 or not. No, now we're in 5. Luke 3, verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made plain. Now the word valley is pharynx, which means it's a word for a ravine, but it's a metaphor for the human condition of lonely, depressed, sad, all those kind of things. And that's the word that's used in Psalm 23, where, yea, though I walk through the valley, or the shadow of death, that's the same word. So we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's all of time and space. And in that valley of shadow of death, there are hills and mountains and valleys and a jillion different roads that people take. But the real issue is not about the physicality of time and space. It's about what's going on in your mind. Amen? Yeah. And so, and every valley shall be. Shall be is an interesting word. It's esomai, and it's the first person singular of the verb to be, which is... I'm not smart enough to discuss, but it's fascinating.
The I am, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Every valley shall be filled. Filled here is plero or pleru, and it means to fill to the top so that nothing is lacking, to make complete, to render perfect, to accomplish. So every valley shall be filled, every mountain is oros, mountain, but it means the high place or the high hill, and it's a metaphor always for overcoming what may be considered difficulties. So the only way you consider when you have difficulties, that's a mountain. And it shall be made low. It shall be made. And every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Mountain is this word that means difficulties and overcoming. But hill is another word. It's the word that we use for high places. It's the place internally of eminence. And it's the place where your other lords besides the right Lord have had dominion over you. But now by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Now let's look at that, and we looked at it a lot of times, but we need to look at it more often. Isaiah 26. starting verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I see thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world shall learn righteousness. But let favor be showed to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they of the wicked one, shall not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. All. We have never, ever been out of the hand of God. He has wrought all our works in us, including all of our genetic history, including every aspect of your life. He has wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. And they're legion. They're every value system that you have in your mind, every thought that prevents you from seeing that you are the chief of sinners, every thought that thinks you can do something good, every value system of any culture you grew up in, anything you've learned by the mind, or the other lords that have had dominion over us. But now, by thee only, will we make mention of thy name. In other words, we now, those other things that have had dominion over us, we no longer acknowledge them because we say it's all God. Now watch what happens then. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. That's every aspect. That's why we make no reference in the way we approach life. There's no reference to the past. There's no reference to cause and effect. There's no reference to reward and punishment. There's no reference to anything, because by thee only will we make mention of thy name. We're not fighting any battles except with the wicked one within you. You have no investment in the outcome of anything your hand touches, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. This is where the philosophy becomes reality. This is where the word is made flesh. But if you continue in the way of the world, and if your values, if you fear the same thing Gentiles fear, if you want the same things anybody else wants, then you know you're on the wrong path. Amen. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this, because this is the instrument of the transforming of your mind and the renewing of your mind. This is the vehicle of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
What do you mean this is?
The idea that we will not give, that there is no other. There's no other power but God. And the ones that we invent or have versus our idolatry. Let's go to Revelation 19, or 17. I'm I'm going to have to bring out my new Bible. I am so tired of the pages of sticking together. It's not new anymore. How long have I had the new Bible?
I've been saying that for about 15 years.
Yeah.
Because you lick your fingers and turn pages.
No, it's because my
pants. And you don't wait till the spit dry.
Revelation.
The revelation of Ronnie.
Revelation.
Revelation 17. Now, again, you got to hear this in Revelation. Revelation 17 describes the work of Babylon and the whore and predicts its destruction in you. And Revelation 18 is the destruction. So you no longer serve the whore by believing in cause and effect in any aspect of your life. Now, all cause and effect is Babylon. That's why there's only two left, the bride and the whore. Now, where is the whore sitting? She's sitting on the seven mountains or high places of your mind. Watch. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, Come here, and I will show unto thee judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. She sitteth upon that's all the people, without exception. All the world is wandering after this, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine of her fornication, the wine is the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking, the wine of self-realization, the wine of you accomplishing, the wine of you doing. Amen? So all the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And these are the same beast that John saw in chapter 13. But there he didn't see the woman. He just saw the beast. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And then, remember, blasphemy is a technical word. It's a term of law. And it means to deny the foundation. And our foundation alone is Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Christ in us. And so if there's any other foundation that you're using, that's why cause and effect is so evil. That's why leaning on your own arm of understanding is so evil. Because at that moment, you are committing fornication with the bride, with this whore. A little bit. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, it blew his mind. Anyway. And she's sitting on the seven mountains of Abai, seven high places. And we've studied each one of those seven high places. And again, every one of those seven high places in type was where the ark was brought. And the seven high places in the promised land. And it was okay to worship on the high places then, until the temple was dedicated. And once the temple was dedicated, which is the type, was the real temple in the New Jerusalem. And once the temple was dedicated, when it's dedicated in you, when you say, Father, I'm yours without condition, then the worship on those high places has to be over. And I promise you, without those high places, you couldn't have learned to walk across the street. You couldn't have known how to eat. You couldn't have known how to do anything. And that's all of the techniques and aspects of what man teaches you. All the way down to reading and writing and how to speak. And every aspect of it is the mystery of the high places. Every cause and effect, every law, every rule, until the temple is dedicated. Once the temple is dedicated, then worship on any other high place is gone forever. Giving breath to anything in time and space is gone forever. Loving anything in the world is gone forever. Now you live by faith alone. If God isn't there, you die. But you better find out now whether he's in you or not. That's why, you know, Psalm 118 says, don't give rest to your eyes. I mean, don't sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you found out the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. Every time we sing that, that's the exhortation. That's why every one of these mountains shall be made low. Amen? Unless you want to believe all this other crap about flying helicopters or the scorpions. But if you can see, and that's why it says, come see. And what does he say here? He carried me away in the wilderness. Oh, wait a minute. And no, he said, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And then chapter 18 says, now, in one day, in one second, in one split second, Babylon is defeated. That's why it says over and over, come out of her, my people, come out of her, touch not the unclean thing. Oh no, let's invent something. We'll make Babylon in the seven hills over, that's Rome, and the idiotic Christians are saying, oh, and the great whore is the Catholic Church. Oh God. That's just comic book theology that's damning and damaging. Remember it says all the world is wandering after this beast that raised itself from the deadly head wound. There's only one thing in the all that everyone in the world is wandering after. Themselves. Their own identity. Their own plans and ambitions. Their own wants and needs. And it's all crap. What? You're doing it again.
I'm just contemplating what you're saying. The churning of the mind.
The question is, can you say amen to it? What I just said.
Say amen to what you said.
Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. What was the caveat that you just said?
I can't say amen to my mind. You like that one?
Yeah, because you just ignore the son of a bitch. John? Nobody has any doubts about this.
I kind of like John. says admiration, but I think you said it was like with
amazement.
Amazement, yeah. It is a mind-blowing thing when you see that. You just, oh my God.
I remember specifically when I saw it. It was very quickly after my conversion experience. That's when I said, nobody's going to believe this. And I started reading the scriptures, and that's all the scriptures say. Come see, come see, come see.
Amazing.
Ronnie? Amen?
Amen.
All right, take it, big guy.